Hey, everybody. Welcome to the 22nd episode of the podcast, dude. I've got a special guest today. I am joined by, I'm trying to think of a word to describe you, but I'm just going to say the awesome Corey McCabe, videographer for Sean West. How you doing, Corey?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for, listeners don't know this, but I had a massive fail this morning trying to set up the live streaming. And now you guys, you're in the Sean West Studios in San Antonio with Sean McCabe, who is currently working. And you guys are streaming this out from your studio.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm very grateful for Sean for setting that up for us.
Yeah, for sure.
Recording audio is hard, or streaming it, all these things. Okay, so we're talking today. I wanted to have you on because I wanted to talk about recording audio anywhere. And this is, you know, out in the world. And you do a lot. You do all the, well, not all. Do you do all of the video stuff for Sean?
I do.
For Sean West?
Yeah, I do. I do all of the video production. And when we do live shows, that's more on Sean's end doing the broadcasting and streaming. But I do all of the, you know, camera switching and setup and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And you've shot a lot of the promotional videos and you've recorded a conference talk. You do a lot of things video. And so you know a little bit or a lot about recording audio for video in different situations.
Yeah, that's right. And we do a lot of stuff that's outdoors every now and then when we go to conferences or meetups. And so I get to, you know, experience the fun of, you know, background noise and all that stuff. and we'll get into that in a little bit. I know we had a few questions about that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited. So we're going to be talking about that, talking about recording public places, getting better audio for your video. And yeah, we do have a lot of questions. Okay, so I guess we should do the intro. Everybody, welcome again. This is episode 22 with Corey McCabe. This is the podcast, dude. Welcome back, everyone. Corey, we got a lot of things to talk about today.
Yes, we do.
I'm trying to think. How do I want to start this off? I want to start this off with a question.
Okay.
A question from Emily Carlton. She asked, should bad audio ever stop you from filming? I'd imagine some people are doing the best that they can with what they have. Quality is always a goal, but I'm curious if bad audio is a big enough deal to stop production until a certain level is reached. If so, what is that level? Because certainly bad audio can certainly ruin amazing content. And I actually don't want you to answer this question just yet, because the whole show is really going to be about answering this question. Because great audio, I think great audio is essential if you want to have a great video that keeps your audience attention. And you don't have to have microphones that cost thousands and thousands of dollars to record good audio. So in this episode, Corey, I just want to lay this out for people. Here's what we're going to teach people how to do. Record better audio for their videos. Record podcasts away from home. Record things like conference talks and interviews, and what gear you'll need for the various situations you might be recording in. You down with that?
Yes, sir. That sounds good.
Yeah, I like Katie in the chat said, let's start with this question, but don't answer that question.
I was ready to. I was getting fired up.
Okay. Well, first, I want to give people an introduction to you, because as a lot of people listening live right now know, you don't talk about yourself very much. You do a lot of cool things. But you're not on any podcast. As far as I know, you're not writing a ton yet. Is that right?
Not a ton, but I do writing for my own projects, like my films and scripts and stuff.
Yeah, you're a big mystery, Corey. So what I want to do for the audience today is kind of give them a chance to know you a little bit better. Give you a chance to tell your story, and then we're going to jump in and answer some questions and help people out with some advice. So first thing, Sam had asked, I want to know where Corey started with filmmaking. What equipment? What was the first project? How did filmmaking captivate him? Because I think Sam, like myself, the first time I heard your name, the first time I met you, it was like, hey, this is Sean's brother, Sean McCabe's brother, Corey. He's going to be doing video. And I was like, oh, cool. There's a video guy here. And that was it. What was your story? What led to that? How did you get that job?
Yeah. So in 2011 and 2012, I really started to get back into video making and all that stuff. As a kid, we made videos all the time, and I never thought that would be something that I actually pursued. It just seemed like something I did as a kid. But in 2012, I really decided to see what I could do with that and started to like take it more seriously. So me and my brother Cameron made a video called Chasing Fog, and a lot of people liked it, and it was a lot of fun. And so I think from that point, I was like, I really like this. And so I looked, and ever since then, I've just been doing a lot of learning online and researching and doing and, you know, just... I guess Sean had saw that in me that I was doing a lot of video related work. And so it just kind of worked out. And I think a year ago this month, I started working at Sean West.
That a year ago. That's awesome. Okay. So this video, Learning Fog.
Chasing Fog.
Chasing Fog. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is that available anywhere online for us to watch?
Yeah. It's on my Vimeo, vimeo.com/Corey McCabe.
Awesome. I'm going to go watch that after the show.
Yeah. It's a fun little video. It was just kind of messing around. We actually made the music for it too.
Yeah, because you guys are all very musical.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So real quick, what were you shooting with back then?
Back then, that was my first DSLR before, like when I was younger, it was just a camcorder. What I shot that in was a Canon T5i. Mm. And I think that was the first or one of the first of Canon's lineup to do 1080p. The T3i might be able to do 1080p, but I'm not sure. So that was what I was using for that.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's go over the list of things that you've done for Sean so far.
Okay.
First, the Creative South Conference talk, I think.
Yeah, that was a really big one. That was a really big one. So that was last year or this year? Oh my goodness, I don't even know.
It was earlier this year.
This has been a big year. Really big year. So much has happened.
You've done so much this year already. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Creative South was awesome. It was a really cool conference. There's a lot of community members that went. You were there as well, Aaron, and yep. It was just really cool to meet people. And I had met you before Creative South, but it was just really cool to meet up with people and in person and talk to them and get on a deeper level with them. But also, just the conference was really cool and just talking. And so I was brought on by Sean to do video, like a recap video of that whole event. And so I think we're pretty happy with how it turned out. And
it was great.
Yeah.
So you recorded, okay, I guess we should start off first there, because you were recording a bunch of different things. But one, you recorded Sean gave is it the keynote? Is that what they call it? The closing speech, I believe?
Right, yes.
And he was up on stage in front of hundreds of people. And you, how did you shoot and record that? Talk to me about the gear and the thought process that went into that.
Okay, yeah. So we had a two camera setup, and I was running a free cam and had another guy, Austin Saylor, on the tripod just kind of panning. Mm-hmm. We went between those two shots. But for audio, what we did was we had the Sennheiser wireless lav system. Mm-hmm. I forget which model it was, but really, really nice setup. And so we had Sean hooked up to that. And so that was wirelessly transmitting into the receiver. And then the receiver would go to the H4N. And something else we did, I want to note, is that from the H4N, we outputted to an iPhone 6 Plus and did Periscope.
What?
Using a TRS cable. It was insane.
That's awesome. And I just want to tell people, I'm going to link to all this gear, all this stuff. There'll be show notes and links at thepodcastdude.com/22. So you can, I'll put this all together afterwards, and you can go and check these things out. But that's pretty rad. So you were capturing audio from his lav mic on stage, broadcasting it through a wireless system to a Zoom H4N, which is a handheld, like, portable audio recording device. It's really, really great. I've actually got one of these.
Yeah.
And then you were running a line out from that H4N into an iPhone.
Correct. It's actually a TRRS. I said that wrong.
No, you're fine.
But yeah, and it worked, and it was really cool.
So you're periscoping with the audio from the stage.
Isn't that crazy? That's so crazy. Like, I was surprised that we pulled off. But I want to note that it took a lot of test recordings at home,
yeah.
Going outdoors and seeing what the range was, what it could handle.
Wow.
Before we went to the conference. But also, since you have to watch for like different frequency interruptions, so once we were actually there at the locations, I did a whole bunch of testings before we did it too, just because depending on the location, it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to note, like, just test, 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 test.
Yeah, test recordings for anything are really, really essential. I think the last thing you want to do is get an idea that something's going to work and then just be confident in it and then go up in the last second you try it out and it just breaks. That actually happened to me this morning, Corey.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. It shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have happened. I have basically the same setup that I used 2 weeks ago to record with Corey Miller. Worked great. I live stream, you know, all this stuff. And then I go and I try to do that with you this morning, and everything just completely failed.
I don't know what happened.
Me neither. But but, you know, if we would have tested this yesterday just to make sure everything was good, maybe I could have isolated the problem. Who knows? But testing, yeah, what you said about testing, hugely important. You should always be doing testing. Always do test recordings if you can, because you need to be able to identify problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So that's really cool. So you recorded the conference talk, but you were also recording like interviews and various other scenes throughout the week, right?
Right.
And that was for what do you guys call that community? The community video? It's on the sign up page for the community.
Yeah, they're the testimonials for the community.
Yeah, yeah.
So for that setup we did again, you know, just a tripod on a camera.
Mm-hmm.
But actually we did two cameras just to kind of make it more interesting and engaging. But for the audio, what we did was the lavs as well. So the same exact setup with the Sennheiser. I'll have to look up that model, Aaron.
Sure. Sure.
But yeah, so we used that same setup into the H4N, and then in post we would sync the audio. But yeah, just the wireless lav system into the H4N was a really great setup for that.
Nice. And tell me again the lav mics that you're using.
Yeah, I don't know the model. It's Sennheiser.
Oh, you're using a Sennheiser lav, yeah.
Actually, I'm saying it wrong. The Sennheiser is the transmitter and receiver, but we're using the Rode mic as the actual lavalier.
Okay, yeah.
We were kind of just happier with that sound, that setup. But I think we tried a couple other receivers and transmitters that just weren't really up to our standards with like quality, and it just wasn't really working out. So I don't know why we didn't end up using Rode. It's just because Sennheiser has a lot more really, really good ratings, and I've heard really good things about them. So,
okay, cool. So there's another trick that you and Sean have found that works really well with getting better audio from lav mics, because I think a common issue is scratchiness from people shifting and moving around while they're recording. So you use, what is it called? An Invisilav piece. Invisilav? Invisilav.
I say Invisilav, but you can say either way. It's lavalier, lapel. It's all the same thing.
Sure. So, but tell me about this little piece thing.
Yeah, so it's an Invisilav. It's just this little capsule that the head of the lavalier goes into. And then this capsule, you can put an adhesive strip that comes with the Invisilav onto your chest.
Mm.
So basically, even if your shirt rubs against, or your jacket or whatever you're wearing, if it rubs against it, it's only hitting the capsule, not affecting the sound. It's a really, really cool setup. So
awesome. And people can buy that on Amazon or any of the other
Amazon
online
stores.
Has that. I think they're like $18. Is that $18 a piece or for a pack?
It's for a pack.
Cool. Are they reusable?
They are reusable, yes, but not the adhesive so much.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You can use the capsules, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, could you just get like regular duct tape and duct tape it to your chest?
You would want to use gaffer tape.
Okay.
Gaffer tape is where it's at, much better than duct tape.
Right, and I've got a lot of chest hair, so that would be uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, and I'll include, there's a couple other lav mics. If you want to go a little bit cheaper, or if you don't have as much of a budget, Rode makes a lav mic called the Smart Lav. That's going to kill me. Smart Lav. That runs about $80. If you want to go a little bit fancier, I kept seeing this lav mic. Well, it's not a lav mic. It's actually a headset mic, one of those ones that comes out on a little stick. But it was very, very small. It's called the DPA D-Fine. And they use this headset mic a lot on TED Talk videos. And I kept seeing it, so I wanted to look it up. Runs $650, but it's got a really good sound quality. So that's lav mics, right? Lav mics.
It really doesn't matter. Whatever you're comfortable with is accepted.
Cool. So you shot some interviews. You ended up stitching together a really nice video, and I believe people can go check that out over at seanwest.com/community.
Yeah, that's right.
That's awesome. And you guys should go look at this stuff. It's cool. Okay, so there was one other thing that I wanted to talk to you about. Well, there's actually so many things, but I want to talk about the pizza party meetup next.
Yeah.
This happened recently.
Yeah, it did. We had a meetup in Grapevine, Texas. Mm-hmm. It was right after the Circles conference and, you know, just invited a bunch of people to come out, you know, whether they're a community member or not.
Yeah.
And it was a really great meetup, you know, got to go deeper with people and just meet them and talk to them and help them out or, you know, just hear what they have to say for you. And it was just really cool meeting and talking with everybody. Actually, two of my brothers, they live in Dallas. They got to meet up with us too. So that was really cool.
I got to meet Ryan McCabe, and I have to say that Ryan's a smooth guy.
he's
and
awesome.
Good looking. I like Ryan. I think I saw your other brother, but I did not get to meet him, which is disappointing.
Well, he wasn't talking to a lot of people. He's very shy. So
we need to talk about personalities and maybe in the after show.
Probably.
People might not know this, but there are a lot of McCabes and there are also a lot of Dowds. I have many siblings, but not actually as many as you guys have.
It's just like two or three.
Two, yeah, or 10 or 12. Anyways, not important right now. So you were walking around with a DSLR.
Correct, yeah.
To shoot. What is that going to end up being?
So that's just going to be like just kind of showing what meetups can look like, because we're going to do a lot more meetups. We're doing one in California.
Ooh.
It's in, yeah. So just kind of giving people an idea of what meetups are like and just how inviting and open and friendly they are. So it's just kind of to show that.
Cool. And you're still editing that, right?
So many things.
Oh, I know. We haven't even talked about Learn Lettering yet.
Oh my goodness. Are we going to talk about Learn Lettering?
No, we don't really have to. I just wanted
we can.
It's something it's else. Just... Was that interesting? Okay, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
Was that interesting?
So for the meetup, I didn't do a lot of, because there's just so much energy and just things happening. I didn't do like a lot of interviews.
Okay.
I did a couple, but not really that many. So I don't know how I'll use that audio that mm-hmm. I got. So what I did was I had a shotgun mic that was mounted onto my DSLR and my shoulder rig.
Cool.
And it was the NTG3 Rode mic.
It's a great mic.
Oh my goodness, it's such a great mic. And I had the XLR cable going from that mic into my pocket where the H4N was.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly what I'll do with that audio, just because there are so many people and so many people talking. I might use that as background noise and then do something else over it. We're definitely going to have music and things like that, but there's only a few select conversations that you can actually hear.
Because it's very noisy.
Very noisy, yeah.
Because this was an outdoor space. It was basically the back patio of a pizza place in a very crowded suburban area.
Right,
and
next
there were
to
like,
a highway.
Next to a highway, and there were like 50 people there.
Right,
and everyone was talking, and because everyone was talking very loudly.
Correct. So in environments like that, you're going to pick up everything.
Yeah,
but not everything. And so what I mean by that is, you're if you have your shotgun mic, pointed right at the person, and preferably like toward their mouth, you're going to pick. That is going to be the main thing that you hear, especially depending on how close you are, and you want to watch your levels. You don't want to get too close.
Right.
But you are going to mainly hear that voice, and you will hear other people talking, but that will add to the environment. And it's not like you're trying to lie about the environment. You know, that environment is kind of,
you can't isolate a conversation in a situation like that.
Not entirely. You just can't. There are some things that you can do to enhance the main source of audio, the subject, just to make it sound a little more easier to hear. But I mean, mm-hmm. you are going to hear some of that in the background, but.
Yeah.
But having a shotgun mic as opposed to something else,
like a what about a lav mic? mic in that situation?
In that situation, a lav mic would have been really nice.
Really, but that takes a long time to set up, right?
Yeah, but what you want to do is you want to have a lav, and preferably if you can, this is expensive, but
sure.
have a shotgun mic as a backup.
Yeah,
that way you're not going to really miss it. You're really not, and that's actually what we're doing for my short film. Is we're doing lav mics and shotgun mic, a boom basically, as a backup. So
I'm curious, do you happen to know the model of the boom mic that you're using?
It's the NTG3.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then if the NTG3 is a great shotgun mic, but it is $700.
It is expensive, yes.
It is not cheap. And Rode has an NTG2, which is a slightly cheaper model. It's still not a bad shotgun mic from what I've heard.
And yeah, that's $269, and it really isn't that bad. You're talking about the NTG2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one, and it really isn't that bad. It does not sound as good as the 3. That's just a fact, but you know, it definitely gets the job done.
Cool. Well, I actually, let me back up just a second. I did have a question. You said you were recording audio from the shotgun mic at the pizza meetup, from the shotgun mic to the H4N. How hard is that to sync up in post-production?
It gets a little messy when you have a lot of background noise.
Yeah.
But most synchronizers can handle it. If you use something like Pluralize, which is a system that can basically take all of your video files and all of your audio files and just sync that right up. You can do that, and most programs today, you can do that inside, like Premiere, mm-hmm. you can do that inside
and
And Final Cut Pro as well. I think there's another one or two as well. But yeah, some of these softwares or apps, you can do that inside the app, but it does get a little bit tricky. Sometimes you'll get an error that it says we couldn't find it just because it's so noisy. But if you're using a shotgun mic, most likely you'll be able to sync it up.
Okay, cool. And something I started doing, and actually this might be something people do, is the setup that I started with was a Canon T2i DSLR, pretty affordable, that I got from a good friend for a good deal. And then I bought a Rode VideoMic Pro, which is a little cheap, I think it's like $150 or so. VideoMic Pro shotgun mic that's on top of the camera and then plugs into the camera to record audio from the shotgun mic directly into the video file, pretty much bypassing the built-in microphone on the camera. Because, and I'm sure you know this, most cameras that I've heard, the microphones on them, the default microphones do not sound good.
No.
So you don't ever want to use those.
You really don't.
So something else, I kind of did an upgrade. I bought the Zoom H4N, and I bought a cable to run out from it into the video camera so that I could either plug an additional microphone into the H4N, or I could just use the built-in stereo condenser microphones on the H4N to record audio straight to the video, so I wouldn't have to do any synchronization later.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a cool setup, and it works well for me. Like I recorded some live music situations, and it sounded great. For music, the H4N, the stereo mics on the top, assuming you're not too close to the speakers or too far away, it can get a really, really nice clean signal of what you're hearing in the room at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, for sure. So I want to mention as well that my setup for that pizza meetup, that community meetup, was not the proper way to use a shotgun mic. So what I was doing was, I mounted it. So I have the NTG3, mm-hmm. and that goes into a shock mount. The shock mount has a hot shoe that hooks up to the DSLR.
Got it.
And so that's basically just pointing straight. That's not actually how you're supposed to use a shotgun mic. You're supposed to use it pointing downward at a 45-degree angle where the target subject is.
Interesting.
Or in some cases, you can actually aim upward at a 45-degree angle, depending on if there's a lot of noise happening on the floor level or whatever. You mainly, you do want to aim it down, though. You want to have it above the person and aiming down at a 45-degree angle. And so that way, you're not picking up background noise, because all you're picking up is that person's voice and then the floor, which, you know, that's not where people's vocals are hitting. So when I'm aiming straight and I'm just kind of aiming and panning left and right, I'm picking up everything that's, you know, like we were saying, that highway.
Directly behind the person, yeah.
Right. And there was so much conversation happening. But being a one-person setup, that's kind of just what I had to do. Christopher in the chat just said, do you recommend having an additional person on shoot to handle audio sooner than later? Handling a boom mic or extra gear or checking audio levels to free up the videographer/director? Yes. So again, I only had two hands, so you know I can't do that. But
yeah,
like again, you don't, if you're gonna use a shotgun mic, shotgun mics are, I just wanna say, they are made for outdoors. Hmm. They're for outdoor shooting. So you don't wanna be really doing what I did and just be aiming it straight, because again, you're just picking up all this unwanted sound. You want, if you could have a second person doing it, Christopher, absolutely. You want to point that downward at a 45-degree angle, and that's where you're going to get the best audio.
That's an awesome tip. I know, you know, you always see, well, you don't always see, but if you ever watch them film movies, you always see that big arm with the microphone on it pointing down from the top of the frame.
Yeah.
And I guess I always just assumed that was to keep the boom arm and the microphone out of the frame of the picture, so you can't see it in the final product. But you're right. Saying that also helps with sound, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's the actual proper technique. So it's not just to get out of the frame. So honestly, if you were someone who you want to use a shotgun mic and you're not doing video, you're just trying to, you know, capture an interview or something and you wanted to use a shotgun mic, there's actually, I've seen some newscasters use shotgun mics and they are kind of aiming it upward, which is good because you're not going to pick up as so much unwanted sound. But I'm trying to wonder, like, if you're the person asking the questions, you don't want to have a big boom pole and, you know, hanging it over their head and asking them questions. That's just, you're not going to get a very good real response from them. They're going to feel very alienated from you. But I suppose you could use, if you had your levels right and everything, you could use a shotgun mic for interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just very directional. So that would be good.
Yeah, yeah. And in that situation, like, you could get a boom stand. Do they make, they make microphone stands. What am I saying?
Yeah.
I need some more coffee. Do they make microphone stands for shotgun mics? Gosh.
Yes.
I'm on my A game today, Corey. So you could set up a microphone stand, point it up, and then, like, say you were interviewing someone at a restaurant or a bar or something, just having a conversation, you could Absolutely. Set it, you know, maybe 6 feet away, put it 6 to 8 feet tall, and then point it kind of down at an angle towards where you guys are sitting.
Right.
And that would pick up a couple different ways. I wanted to bring in, well, okay, before that, I want to bring in the question from Kyle about how this ties into podcasting. But you do something similar with Sean West TV. So you and Sean McCabe, Sean does a daily video show now, which is insane.
It just launched October 5th. So yeah.
October 5th. This morning, as we're recording this, a week ago, as this episode goes live. So a week ago, go check that out. SeanWest.tv, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be an audio only podcast, which is awesome.
Yeah. And I think that was a really good decision too by Sean, just to, you know, because not everybody has the time to watch a video.
And, right.
And some people, even when watching, you know, a video like that, they're kind of doing other things anyway. It is kind of nice to have a well-produced video. You know, people love watching
yeah,
it.
Yeah, definitely.
But sometimes you're on the road, you're on the go, and you just want to be listening. So I think it was a really good decision to do that. How we're doing that is we're very meticulously setting up, you know, systems and processes and the mic placement just to make everything exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just so there's no difference in audio from episode to episode. What we're doing is using, again, the Rode NTG3 mm-hmm. above Sean's head and pointing it downward at a 45 degree angle. And we're just using that for making that into a podcast.
That's, yeah. So instead of, Sean traditionally uses the Shure SM7B microphones for podcasting, for the right. Sean West podcast. And yeah. That's what I use. I think that's what you're on right now.
Yeah.
But the problem with, if you're going to do a video like that, you can't have that big old mic up in front of your face.
No, you don't want
that. But you still want good audio. Sean still wants to get really good audio. And so the good shotgun mic, the NTG3, is a great way to do that. And you guys, did you already mention the fact that you have two different NTG3s set up?
No, I didn't mention that, no. Yeah, we do. We like you're saying with the mic stands, we have the NTG3s on, so we have two of them, and they're on two different mic stands because the reason for that is we use three camera setup for Sean West TV. One of them is just kind of a free handheld, kind of behind the scenes kind of look, you know,
mm-hmm.
as he's talking to the camera. But we like to switch which camera he's talking to, so we bought a second shotgun mic,
mm-hmm.
just so when he turns his head, we're still getting right in front of him, you know, directly. So
that's
it's seems insane. Like... it really is. It's nobody does this, Aaron.
Yeah, I know. But it's great. You're setting a good example for people. And then you've got the video. You edit these videos, right?
Yeah.
And then you export the audio, and the audio only version goes into a podcast feed.
Correct. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to listening to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Anything else on that? We haven't even we're running out of time. We haven't even really touched on Learned Lettering 2.0. You basically helped Sean shoot and edit a very intense online course.
Basically,
that's not doing it justice. But
no, it did really well. I think we did a good job of, you know, both video and audio, and I think it turned out really well. And again, used, you know, the shotgun mic mm-hmm. and. you know, proper placement and, you know, with that whole, again, like if you're going to use a shotgun mic, just remember that tip of the whole being above the subject and pointing down 45 degree angle.
Cool. Cool. So Kyle Adams had asked, how does video relate to podcasting? How could someone tie this into their goal of making a great podcast? And this is a good question because we've talked a lot about recording better audio and how you record audio for video. But the reason I wanted to have you on, because a lot of these techniques still apply. When you're going out into the real world and you want to record audio, you want to record, say, a podcast, one of the things you have to think about is location. You got to think about where you're setting up. You got to think about what's going on in the background, what the room acoustics are, how it's going to sound. But then you also have to make a decision, possibly on the spot or in advance. Okay, like what's the best kind of microphone for this situation? Is it a lav mic? Is it a lot lav? Is it a shotgun mic? Can I get dynamic microphones? Can I get like my normal podcasting setup? Those kind of things. And yeah, so that's how it kind of ties in. I wanted to talk about gear because these are all things to think about and consider if you know you're going to be in a situation where you got to go out somewhere and record someone in a situation that is not your home recording studio.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's imagine I want to go out and I want to meet you somewhere. I want to meet someone somewhere and record a podcast. Let's talk about the kind of stuff they could use. I want to bring in a question here. Let me double check and see who it's from. Emily Carlton asked, what if you're shooting video on your phone? Are there mics you can recommend over the internal phone mic? This is not just like, what if you're shooting video on your phone? What if you only have your phone and you want to record some kind of interview or a podcast? There's actually been a couple that I have my eye on that are good quality because, yeah, you know, the iPhones, especially the newer ones, they have a microphone, but it's not a great microphone. It's a passable microphone. If you get in an ideal situation and you can hold it a couple feet away from someone and there's not, and the room is, you know, not terribly echoey and there's not a lot of background noise, then you can get a decent audio recording. You can clean it up in post-production. But most of the time there's going to be better options. And if you want really great audio, which is something I really stress for either just your podcast or for your video, then I think there's a couple of microphones that plug into the iPhone that you should check out.
And the first one,
no, sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it.
No, what were you going to say?
I thought you were leaving it for me to say your, the ones that you found. I love the ones that you found. You found the Shure MV88.
Yeah, yeah. Let's start with that. The Shure MV88, this is actually a little, it's kind of hard to explain. Basically, it's a very small mic, just maybe an inch or two wide, and it plugs into the Lightning port. It's got a Lightning port connection, plugs into your iPhone, records in very high definition audio, 24-bit. But the cool feature about this, besides the mic itself being a pretty good mic that picks up good audio, is it's on a swivel. So it looks like a microphone that you can move around and point in all different directions. Mm-hmm. And it's a directional microphone. It's a condenser microphone. But it's both directional and dual side address. So this means depending on how you set it up with an app that's included with this little device that plugs into your iPhone, you can either set it up to record whatever it's pointing at or whatever is to either side. So it's got like two little capsules on the side of the mic. And then you can also... I don't know how to do a good job of explaining this, but basically you can point it at something or you can set your phone down on a table, point the mic straight up, and it will record from two sides, two opposite sides. So you could have a conversation and record a podcast that way. And from I haven't been able to buy one yet. It's on my list of things to buy, hopefully in the next month or two, and I can do a test recording. But from the tests that I've heard, it's a really good sounding mic.
Yeah, and I would love to try it out too. It seems pretty interesting. I like that you have that control of, you know, being very directional with it or kind of widening that range and picking up even more. Like if you were going to do like a two-person conversation or something.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, so you could do that. And then you could, at the same time, like if you're going to shoot some video, walk around, shoot some video, then you can just point the microphone straight out from your phone to pick up whatever's in front. Or if you wanted to do like a voiceover narration while you're walking around shooting video, you could flip it around, point it back at yourself.
Yeah.
And get better sound. So it's a really cool, it's a really cool device, the Shure MV88, and it runs $150. So I'm going to be picking that one up too soon.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know how that goes.
Oh, it's great. I'll have to shoot some video. I'll have to, because honestly, Corey, I have a DSLR right now. I have the Canon T2i.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking about selling it and just shooting any video that I need to shoot on an iPhone 6S.
They're great. They really are great.
Because the camera on that thing is just nuts. Okay, so, but if that happens, then I'll need something, a good microphone to plug into that. So anyways, all right, let's keep moving. Rode VideoMic Me is an upcoming microphone that plugs into an iPhone from Rode. Save me, Corey. I'm drowning.
No, you got it. That one I haven't done a lot of research on, actually.
It's kind of cool. Basically, it plugs into, I think, the 3.5 millimeter headphone jack on your okay. iPhone. And then it doesn't move. So I think it's just static, as far as I can tell. So it can either point away from your camera, basically in the same direction of the camera, or you can point it back at you, but you can't do the whole swivel thing like the Shure.
Right.
And I don't know the price yet because it's not actually out yet. Rode says it's coming soon.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, honestly, like, you can kind of just trust them that it's, like, I don't know what the price is going to be, but you can just trust them. Like, Rode has never really, like, let you down. You know, they've just got some really, really awesome products, really innovative products, too. There's one that's, I think it just came out. It's been saying coming soon for a while. It's called the Rode Link. It's more of a filmmaker wireless lav system. And I'm really excited for that.
Ooh.
But their products are just really great. So the one Aaron was talking about was, the one you were talking about was Rode VideoMic Me.
Yeah.
Curious to how that one comes out.
And I'm guessing it would be in like the $100, $150, maybe $200 range.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So did you have any recommendation for recording to iPhone?
You know, I didn't. I think that Shure MV88 was probably the best bet.
Cool. Yeah. The Rode SmartLav plugs into the iPhone, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's an affordable lav mic. From what I've heard, it's not super great, but it's an affordable option. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't stoked on the audio recording that I heard from that. But again,
interesting.
Okay, yeah. So we're talking again about recording podcasts out in the world.
Yeah.
Someone had asked earlier about how we travel with our SM7Bs. I think
Do you travel with that?
Yeah, the answer is we don't. This is a great microphone, but it's a very heavy microphone, and I just would not travel with this. I have, and see, it's just hard to say. It really depends on how mobile you're going to be. Like if I knew I was going to someone's house to record, then sure I would pick up. I'd pick up a microphone and I'd take the stand and I'd take the cable and I'd take the interface. But if I was like, I'm going to go on a trip and like, or go to Creative South and I'm going to be in a hotel room, I think I would probably invest in a good USB microphone if I was going to be podcasting.
Yeah, that would probably be best.
You know, and Corey, I hate to say this, but I do need to bring it up.
Uh-oh.
So for the longest time, I've kind of hated on the cheaper USB microphones. You know this, right? Like I talk about how much I hate the Blue Snowball.
Oh yeah,
despise the way it sounds. Sounds terrible. People have asked me like, what about the Audio Technica AT2020? Not a fan of the way that sounds either. And then same with the Audio Technica? I think it's ATR2100 or something. Dynamic USB microphones. But you know what? I discovered something last week thanks to Marco Arment, podcaster and programmer. So this microphone, this dynamic USB microphone from Audio Technica runs about, I think, $50 or $60. And the test, most people are like, this is a great microphone for $50. And then I listen to it. I'm like, no, that sounds like crap. But you know what it was is that the microphone comes with a desktop stand. And so people would set it on their desktop 3 feet away from them, 2 or 3 feet away from them. And then they'd have to crank the gain on this microphone, which would pick up a ton of background noise and really pick up the room. So a lot of the recordings made with this mic, ATR2100, they don't sound very good. So I was like, no, that's a crappy mic. Don't buy that mic. But Marco did a test where he put this mic on a mic stand and then recorded, you know, like you're supposed to with proper mic technique, just a couple inches away.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't sound that bad. Actually sounded
interesting.
It sounded pretty close to an SM58. Which is a dynamic microphone, XLR microphone that I really like. So, you know, if I was going to be doing a lot of traveling and I needed a USB mic and I didn't want a very heavy one, might be an option. You just have to, you know, it goes back to, you have to be aware of mic technique and how you're supposed to use the mic that you're recording with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, side note. I was, but it's cool to know because a lot of people recommend that mic for beginners. And now I can say, yeah, it's not a terrible mic for beginners. You're not going to get super great sound quality. And I always say that. But you can get decent sound if you're as close to it as you're supposed to be and not 2.5 feet away. Don't use that desk. Don't use that desk stand for that microphone if you can help it, unless you're right up on it.
Yeah, and that kind of goes with all mics too. Like, if whatever mic you're going to be using, whether it's you want to use proper technique. But if you're not able to get very close to it, and I'm not just talking about a USB, just kind of any mic, get as close as you can, because that's just the ratio of background noise, white noise, you know, noise to actual signal. The actual waveform that you want, you know, you want that to be as contrasted as possible.
Yeah. Cool. Let's go over just a couple of the options that I would say if you wanted to go to a room somewhere and have a relatively mobile setup. The Zoom H4N, not a bad choice. Built-in stereo condenser mics on the top that are pretty good. But you also have two mic inputs that you can plug XLR microphones into. And if you went with an upgraded model from the H4N, you could go with the H6. And I believe that one is a little portable handheld device that has four inputs on it.
Mm-hmm. So, and it actually has a caps, or what is it called? It has a bunch of different attachments that you can put on top of it, like a mini shotgun mic, a
stereo condenser.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. But one of them is
omnidirectional.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a good one. But one of them is more XLR inputs, so you can actually do, I think it's six. It's crazy. It's just this tiny little handheld device, you know, and it can do a lot.
It's really not cheap. That one's what, $400?
Yeah, it's not very cheap, but I'd like to get my hands on that one.
Yeah, I'm really happy with the Zoom H4N. It was around $200.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. They're great products. And then, so if you had one of those, plug a couple microphones into it. And then you could either go handheld, which is kind of tricky with people who, you got to be very vigilant when using a handheld dynamic mic like the SM58. If you can bring along mic stands, that's great. Otherwise, like we talked about earlier, you could set up some kind of shotgun mic to record the conversation with.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on that?
I think that's good there.
As far as the podcast stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a question from Sam about how important the sample rate is.
I want to know your thoughts on that more.
Okay. I think he might have been asking for video, and you usually use 48K for video.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Oh, then yes. Absolutely.
Okay. If Sam's talking about audio, then I say record in 24-bit. 44.1 is fine, or 48K.
Right.
Yeah, that just gives you a lot more headroom. It'll give you a better signal, and then adjust your input gain to where you're hitting maybe -6, -12 for the peaks. Mm-hmm. You don't want to clip, but then like you were talking about earlier, you know, the further away your voice is, the more background sound, the more room sound that you're going to pick up in the recording.
Yeah, honestly, I try to push -6 to -3
when you're shooting video.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to peak, so you really got to, again, kind of like we were saying at the beginning, Aaron, is just you want to do test recordings. You want to, like, really see, like, if it's going to be just you talking, you usually know how loud you're going to talk. Do a test recording of you talking a little bit louder than normal, or how excited you're going to get. Or if it's somebody else, then you really need to be careful if you don't know the person, to just have a pretty decent conversation, just, like, something that they're excited about, something that they can kind of get into, just to kind of see where those peaks will be. And you can kind of adjust your levels accordingly.
Awesome. I'm with you on that. Okay, so anything else?
Let's actually dive into just a little bit more the lav mics. So I kind of told people how I do shotgun mics, mm-hmm. and the proper way to, you know, use those. So lav mics, you want to, if you are doing video, you want to keep them as hidden as possible. But the main thing is getting them high up on the chest. So not right next to the throat, just kind of mid chest level is the best placement for that. And sometimes you do have to kind of do it to one of the one side of the chest. If like it's a low cut shirt or like a jacket or something, you can kind of do it to the side, but the closer to like the mid chest level is best. So just want to point that out.
Cool. That works. And then you set gain levels roughly the same way.
Yes. Yes.
Get the person talking, adjust it so you're not peaking at zero, and then just hit record and go.
Right, yeah. And so once you have that placement right, there's all kinds of adapter and accessories. I know we had a few notes on these, Aaron.
Yeah, go ahead, bring them in.
Yeah, yeah. Just because, you know, I just want to make sure they're recording. Like if you're going to use the H4N or some kind of sound recorder device, usually that's a 3.5 millimeter connection there, mm-hmm. and that's not what the lav mic is. So you will have to get an adapter that is the one that we use is Rode Micon or Micon, mm-hmm. and that's basically what that is. It's a connector from, I don't know what the connection is called. It's just this mini jack that the Rode, or because we use the Rode, but they're all the same with lav mics. But it will go. It's just a converter adapter piece to a 3.5 millimeter, which will go straight into your H4N. Your recording device, basically.
Yeah.
And there's also some that go to XLR. And I think we can have some links in the show notes for people. But yeah, you want to get like a converter piece. Like, so if you're not going to do the wireless, like the transmitter and the receiver,
mm-hmm.
you want to get an adapter to connect into your recording device.
Cool. And I'll include links to those in the show notes.
Cool.
All right, man. Well, we could talk about this kind of stuff all day long, but We do have a time constraint. So I just want to say thanks for coming on and doing the show, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
I really appreciate it. I appreciate you meeting up with me to kind of plan this out for people, to make sure we had a good show and to share your knowledge and all those things. If people wanted to go somewhere and find you online, where should they do that?
They could do that at CoreyMcCabe.com. And right now that kind of just goes to my Facebook page, but that's where I kind of keep all the updates.
Cool. And are you on Twitter as well?
Yeah, Corey McCabe Films on Twitter.
Corey McCabe Films on Twitter.
Yes.
Awesome. And I'm at The Podcast Dude on Twitter, at thepodcastdude.com. Cool. Yeah. Something else. Corey, you're in the community, right? The Sean West community. Have you heard about this thing?
What is it, Aaron?
It's a place where awesome people hang out to get help with their audio, with their video, with their podcasts. You're in there quite a bit. Answering questions about video, right?
Yeah, I try to be there as much as I can. I was actually there this weekend. I usually get busy on the weekends, but I showed up this weekend. But yeah, I try to be there in there as much as I can. Yeah, just be a part of it. It's really just an awesome group of people. There's even people in there that I'm on a texting base, or how do you say that?
You're texting your best friends.
Yeah,
your text
right.
Friends.
Yeah, like just really good friends. Like, I mean, they're just awesome people that are going to encourage you and
help you with your projects and
absolutely
motivate you. It's a really amazing place. If you like the stuff that Corey talked about today, if the show is valuable to you, you're gonna like the community. You're gonna like hanging out and listening to the live streams. Live streams of podcasts every day.
Yeah,
we have so many different shows. Normally they start on time. Today's show, my fault. A little bit late. It's cool. We're still here. We still showed up because that's what we do.
We show up. We show up every day.
We show up every day. And if you want to show up every day, if you want help showing up every day, if you want encouragement, if you want to make new friends and get pushed and get help, then you want to go check out SeanWest.com/community. It supports the show, makes all this stuff possible. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here doing the show if it wasn't for everyone in the community. So thank you, everyone who's going to sign up, everyone who has already signed up. I really appreciate you.
Absolutely.
If you're enjoying the show so far, if you could do me a huge favor, go to thepodcastdude.com/iTunes and leave me a review. You could even talk about Corey in it. I'm sure he'd like that.
Yeah. But so what is it again? Just so they don't miss that.
Thepodcastdude.com/iTunes.
Yeah. And leave a review and let us know what you think.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Cool. So, Corey, thanks so much for coming on the show today. I think we're going to answer a couple questions real quick, maybe a rapid fire in the after show.
Yeah, let's do it.
And then I got to go write show notes for this. All right. Hang tight.
Awesome.
And we're back. So, Corey, did you have any of these? We got a bunch of questions, so thanks everyone in the chat for doing that. Did you have any that you wanted to start with?
Yeah, let's start with Terrence Ting. Terrence asked, if I can't afford a $700 shotgun mic, what are some good ways to eliminate background noise from shooting outdoors?
Did you have some thoughts on this?
I have a few. Again, to the lapel mics, the lav mics. Mm-hmm. Those are really good because they're very close to the source.
Yes.
And I mean, sometimes clothes can be annoying, but we talked about the Invisalav. But actually, those clothes can kind of like block out, you know, just a little bit noise that's coming from around, like the background noise he's mentioning.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's pointed directly toward like the bottom of the chin, kind of the throat area. And that's just going to get really, really good, clean sound.
Cool.
So yeah, I would say a lav mic. If you can't afford, you know, a very expensive shotgun mic, and if you're shooting outdoors, you know, I think a lav mic is a good way to go there.
Awesome. And we could bring in another question that's kind of related to this. Damien had asked, what's the best way to eliminate background noise? Is this done in pre or post-production? If you can eliminate it up front, if you can move locations, if you can eliminate, you know, sources of noise, if you can isolate yourself in any way, definitely try to do that. Definitely try to get the best recording environment that you can. But if you can't, there are some options for eliminating noise in post-production. And I can talk about the ones that I'm familiar with. I've talked before many times about iZotope's RX4 plugin suite. And these are just plugins that you can insert on each individual track that will automatically reduce background noise, hum, wind sounds, things like that. Waves has a similar plugin. There are a few noise removal plugins that you can buy. Waves has a plugin that was on sale last week for $29. But you guys, if you have Logic or... No, I don't think GarageBand comes with an expander plugin. But if you have Logic, there are two plugins that you can use to remove background noise. One is an expander, and I'll put a link to that in a tutorial for that. And the other one is actually the voice enhancement plugin has a noise removal feature on it.
So yeah, nice.
I'll include links to tutorials to those because I don't want to go into details about that. But post-production, Corey, do you do any noise reduction removal in like Premiere?
Not in Premiere. I use Logic.
Okay.
I do some post work, but yeah, I don't usually do it in Premiere. I don't usually, and I don't really know all that it's capable of. It probably can do a lot more than I know, but I just haven't trusted it for it just because I haven't really tried it out.
Sure. Yeah. And I think Final Cut Pro has some like noise removal features as well. I think I used them one time and I was kind of like, well, it can, if you use too much of it, if you set the settings too high, it can really kind of mangle the sound, start cutting into the voice. And so it can sound unnatural. Mm-hmm. So you got to be careful with that. But yeah.
So Aaron.
Yes, go ahead.
We made a mistake.
What did we say?
We said at the beginning of the show, Emily Carlton's question, and we did not answer it. We said the show would be answering it, but we didn't really answer it directly.
We didn't answer her question?
I don't think so, because you said don't answer yet, because we're going to be talking about that in the show.
Well, yeah. This
but we didn't directly answer it, did we?
Well, it was like, here's how to record good audio. I guess you're right. We did not directly answer it.
I'll go ahead and do that. So please. Her first question was, should bad audio ever stop you from filming?
What do you think?
Yes. My answer is just yes.
Yeah.
Because that's, again, you know how I kind of mentioned with, you know, Sean West TV being a podcast, like some people tune out of the video and just listen to the content.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta just put a high regard on audio.
Have to.
Even if your primary focus is video, which I'm sure is not because this is the podcast, dude, but even if it was your primary focus to do video, you have to put the quality of audio above the quality of video. I would rather you record in 720p with really, really good audio rather than 4K and just terrible audio.
Yeah. Yeah. This happens a lot. If I go to a YouTube video, I don't really care that much about how good the video is. Yeah, it's nice. But if the video sucks and the audio is great, then I can just, unless it's a super visual thing, then I can just turn the video off and just listen to the audio.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so, if the audio sucks, it doesn't matter how good the video is.
So true. So true.
I mean, think about this. How many, I hope you don't do this, but there have been times where I'm interested in watching music videos for a band or like live performances of a band. So I go and I look up this band and people upload videos from their iPhones. Video looks great. The sound is just nonstop noise clipping, way overloaded because of the big speakers in the venue. Turn it right off. It's not even fun. You can't hear anything. Can't understand anything. It doesn't matter how good the video looks.
Yeah.
So you have to. Go ahead.
And again, I was just going to say, like, again, this is coming from a filmmaker. I'm putting such a high regard on the audio. So, like, I hope that says a lot with how much care you guys put into it. Because, I mean, you better believe when I was not hiring, because I'm not paying him, but when I was bringing on the audio guy for my film, I had so many questions, you know, just how he does things. And I wanted to make sure I was really comfortable with him. First, it was going to be this other girl. And I ended up not going with her just because I wanted to feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy that I brought on, he's very knowledgeable, knows what he's doing. But yeah, that's just, so just from a filmmaker, like that's how high I hold audio. So.
Got it.
I don't know if that made sense. I worded it funny.
No, dude, it's good. I totally get you. Basically, it's really, really important. So that's why we're doing this show, because we want to explain the various options that you have and the choices that you have to get good audio, and just say that it's okay. Charlie had just said in the chat, I like this. She says, I wouldn't let not having a good microphone stop me. That's fine. Like, do the best with what you can. But that's what I'm saying. If you want to make great video, these are the steps that you have to take. This is what you have to know. This is what you have to invest in.
Yeah.
But care about this, because otherwise, if you record something with terrible, terrible sound, you shouldn't be surprised when people don't want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Sean said in the chat, and I think we can end on this, but Sean said, you can have crappy video and people will watch if there's great audio. If you have great video and crappy audio, people will not watch. And we want people to watch your stuff. We want you to sound good. We want you to really have an impact on the people that come across your videos and your podcast. So that's why I wanted to do this show.
Yeah.
Cool. Tell us just real quick, what's next for you, Corey? Like, what are you working on? What are your big plans?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of a short film. We're halfway through production.
Awesome.
When
you say short, how short?
So it's a short film that's probably expected to be around 5 to 7 minutes long.
Okay,
so
cool.
Pretty short. Yeah, so we'll end production hopefully on the 17th of October and then move into post-production. Actually, going to give a shout out to Brandon Pitson. He's the editor in the community.
What?
And so I just think that's pretty cool.
Wait, Brandon's editing the short film?
That's right, yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, he's been really awesome. He's a very giving person and just really, really excited to work with that guy. So
we might have to include this in the actual show.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Because he
another reason to join the community.
Yeah. Yeah. You get called out famous. He's got a he does video too, right? What's his website? Let's give Brandon a shout out.
Yeah. His website is oldanchorfilms.com.
Awesome.
Yeah. He's got a lot of cool work there.
Cool.
So the expected date of my short film is November 9th, and it should be on all of the social platforms there. And I might be actually, I'm going to try to premiere it, like screen it in San Antonio, Texas. So it'll be before the 9th if we can pull it off, but we'll see.
Dude, if I don't have to work that day, maybe I'll come see it.
You should. It'd be a lot of fun.
That would be rad. Don't.
If only Brandon could make it, but he's in North Carolina.
Yeah, I was going to say if only Corey Miller could make it, but I think he's going to be in Ireland.
Well, he'd probably still go.
He'd probably try. All right, man. Well, we should get off because we got to go do an actual Sean West team meeting call.
Let's do it.
All right. Thanks, everyone in the chat for showing up, listening. Thank all you listeners out there. I really appreciate you. Go follow us on Twitter. What is it? Corey McCabe Films and the podcast, dude.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure you'll be on sometime in the future, Corey.
I hope so.
I'm waiting for your podcast. What? I'm just kidding. All right, everyone have an excellent week. Talk to you later.